Hello, this is Rachi Lerner speaking with you today from OU Radio. Our topic for today is memory. Memory as a key component to living a fully realized Jewish life. We are actually at the point right before Pesach, right before the Chag of Pesach, which we make a recurrent theme in our Jewish life experience. We constantly talk about Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. We constantly talk about remembering the Exodus from Egypt. And it forms a critical part of our historical experience and our current life experience, the entire Exodus from Egypt. And I'd like to talk about memory in all sorts of ways. In Sefer Tehillim, in Perek Tet Zion, in Psalm 145, verse 16, David HaMelech says, Poteach et yadecha umasbia lechol chai ratzon. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. This verse testifies to the fact that not only does God provide for our needs, but he meets the desires of all living things as well. And in order for someone to gratify the needs, or for a being to gratify the needs of not only humans, but animals, it means that that provider has an innate understanding of all of his creations. Because in that sentence, Poteach et yadecha umasbia lechol chai ratzon, we're talking about satisfying the desire of every living thing. Not only the past desires having been gratified, but all future needs and all future wants being met as well. And Rav Soloveitchik comments that the two most important aspects of our religious experience are the attribution of the entire cosmic creation to God, and secondly, the recognition that Hashem is continuously involved in meeting all the physical needs of his creations. So let's look at that again. The two most important elements of our religious experience, according to the Rav, to Rav Soloveitchik, are the fact that we attribute the entire cosmic creation to God. In other words, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the creation of the entire world. We affirm that he is creator. And secondarily, the recognition that God is continuously involved in meeting the physical needs of all of his creations. It is very easy to thank God for what he has done for us in the past. And it is far more challenging to constantly remember God, to ascribe everything to him, and to know that he is creator, master, Lord, and owner of everything. Yet this awareness that God is creator, master, Lord, and owner, this awareness of God's ever-present presence in our lives, the fact that he's continually engaged with us, meeting our needs, is the core fundamental experience. And this consciousness requires intense mental discipline. We have to train ourselves to be continuously aware of the presence of God in our lives. That's a training that we put upon ourselves. Psychologists have long known that people habituate to their surroundings. Okay? We can use another word for that. We can call it acclimation. That when you're in a certain circumstance for long enough, you just become acclimated to it. You habituate. For instance, if you're in a room and the air conditioner is on, after some time, you will not hear it because that background noise recedes and you don't notice it anymore. What do you become aware of? When there is a change in the ambience, there's a change in the environment, then you become attuned. The sensory system can't continually fire. It habituates, and only when there is a change do we have a refiring of the system. In a similar vein, we approach God. God is so much a part of our experience. He's so much a part of the background that sometimes he blends. He kind of recedes from our conscious awareness. And it's very hard, in fact, to keep awareness of God at the forefront when we are continually being told that Hashem is present, Hashem is here, that he is omnipotent. And it is extraordinarily true, I think, of our experience that we only really become aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives when there is a natural disaster, when there is a life-altering or a life-changing event. At that moment, when there is a life-shattering event or there is an experience that is extremely traumatic or significant, our complacency is shattered and we have heightened perception. We suddenly become more aware. But the recognition of God at extraordinary moments, the moments that are not part of the ordinary, is not adequate. For the committed Jew, the goal is to perceive God and his total involvement with us. That's absolutely essential. That's our task. Our task is to be ever mindful of God's presence in our lives. And in that way, we use memory as our trigger. How does that work? When we talk about Zecher Liyetziat Mitzrayim, we talk about a memory of the Exodus, we're talking about the first, or one of the first, life-shattering experiences that we underwent as a people. Here we are in Egypt, disenfranchised, victimized, and suddenly we come to this recognition that there is a God because God, in the most demonstrative and overt way, makes his presence known to us. This is key. This is absolutely key for us to understand. Now, we talk about Zechira in Judaism. We talk about memory in Judaism in a whole host of different ways. Very recently, we talked about Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek has done to you. Baderech b'tzeitcha mimitzrayim, when you were leaving on the road, when you were leaving Egypt. Now, what is it that we are being asked to remember? What is it that we are being asked to do? So we need to look at that on several different levels. We begin by looking at it in terms of understanding what the text itself is saying. Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek baderech b'tzeitcha mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the road, on your way out of Egypt. Asher karchor baderech, v'izanev b'cha kal recha shalim acharecha. They met you on the road, cutting off those stragglers at the rear. Va'ata ayef v'yageh, and you were tired and exhausted. V'lo yare elokim, and they did not fear God. Fascinating. What happens? Because they did this to you, what are we commanded to do? We're commanded to timche et zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim lo tishkach, that you must erase, you must obliterate the memory of Amalek under the heavens. You must not forget. So here we have this fascinating narrative of memory, and attached to memory is the secondary command, do not forget. What is actually going on here? And how does this tie in with the entire idea of memory and the potency of memory? So Nechama Leibowitz talks about this issue, and she says the following. She says, what is so critical here to look at is the idea of the fact that Amalek went ahead and attacked those that were straggling at the rear. They came when you were tired and exhausted, and they attacked you. Asher karcha baderech, and they chanced upon you on the road, and they did this. But her point is more, v'lo yare elokim. They did not fear God. This is the reason why we are commanded, according to Nechama Leibowitz, to utterly obliterate them. She brings three other instances in Tanakh where we have that expression of Yare Elokim. When Abraham goes into the land of Avimelech and he tells his wife Sarai to pretend to be his sister, afterwards he is found out and Avimelech says to him, why did you lie and say that your wife was your sister? And he answers, Vayomer Avraham, and Avraham said, Ki amarti rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh, because I said, there is no fear of God in this place. This is in Bereshit, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Aleph, 2011. And then you have the story of Yosef and his brothers in Perek Mem Bet, Pasuk Yud Ches, in 42:18. Vayomer alehem Yosef bayom hashlishi, zot asu v'chiyu, this do and live, he says to his brothers, et ha'elokim ani yare, because I am a God-fearing man. I fear God, says Yosef. And then you have the mialdot, v'tirena ha'mialdot et ha'elokim, and the midwives feared God. This is when they were Mitzrayim and they did not follow the dictates of Paro to kill all the boys that were born. V'lo asu ka'asher diber aleihem melech Mitzrayim. They did not do what King of Egypt had commanded them. But tirena ha'mialdot et Elokim. Again, the midwives feared God. And the fourth place that we have it is here. When we talk about Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you, v'lo yare Elokim, that they did not fear God. So what is the connecting link? What is it about Yiret Shamayim that changes a person? And so what we see is that Yiret Shamayim has the ability to either strengthen or weaken a person. It can either strengthen their resolve or weaken them. It changes a person's direction. It makes a person act more in accord with his divine substance or less in accord with the divine image in which he was created. Here you have the Mi'aldot willing to buck Paro, the strongest and most powerful leader, because they feared God. For them, it acted as a strengthening device. Here you have Avraham saying, I was forced to lie because this place where there is no fear of God is a place of predation where people prey on other people. If I had said that Sarai was my wife and not my sister, I would be dead. Here's Yosef saying to his brothers, fear not, because I am God-fearing. Therefore, you need not worry that I will take advantage. And the quintessential example of where fear of God is absence and men pray is Amalek. Ve'lo yare Elokim. They did not fear God. And because of that, they took advantage of the Jewish people's enervated state and they attacked them from behind, from the rear. For that reason, we have to not only eradicate the Amalek itself, but Zecher Amalek, because people who act in ways that defy God leave a residue. Their actions in this world are not just in the moment, but they leave a residue behind them that is so powerful and so potent that we must eradicate Zecher Amalek, anything that has to do with what they've left behind, the residue, the impact that they have. The example that Rashi provides is Asher Karcha Baderach. Why is that? Because at that point, they basically made us cold. The example that Rashi gives is when there's a boiling hot bathtub full of boiling hot water, and everyone's afraid to touch it or to go into it. And then some Ben Blial comes, some man comes, a low-class man, kafatz v'yarad l'tocha, he jumps in the middle of this boiling hot water, and what does he do? He cools it down. He hekrautza, he cools it down before everybody else. He makes it cold. So even though he himself is burnt by going into the water, nonetheless, by so doing, he has cooled the entire tub down. That's what Amalek did. Before Amalek came, all the Umot HaOlam, says Rashi, Yireim Lehilachem Bachem. They were afraid to go ahead and start up with the Jews. Here are the Jews who are clearly the beneficiaries of God's divine providence, for whom God has transformed natural order. He has basically split the sea. Nobody's willing to touch them with a 10-foot pole. And here comes Amalek, and basically, Asher Karcha Baderach, who made you cold, so to speak. You were a hot commodity. People were afraid to lay hands on you. And they cooled you off, and suddenly you were open season. Not only that, the Medrash tells us that at that point, there was an opportunity for people to convert. God was plainly visible. So what happened when Amalek attacked? Everyone was saying, ah, look at the Jewish people. There is a God. There is not only a God, but we are ready to come along. Think of what we say in the Shir al-Hayam, in Az Yashir, we say, they were terrified. They realized that this was the Amcha of Hashem. This was God's people. And they were on the cusp of embracing God. And if the world, the known world, would have embraced God at that point, we would have had the Geula Shulema. We would have had the complete and utter total redemption. But what does Amalek do? Amalek comes and attacks. And all of a sudden, the fear of God and the awe of God and the willingness to commit to a God-invested lifestyle dissipates. And suddenly, it's all gone. It's the impact of jest in a serious theater. If you are ever at a shiva house and people are grieving and one person makes an inappropriate joke, the entire atmosphere can change in an instant. Emotions are subject to rapid change. The world was poised to embrace God and take God on based on fear, based on awe, based on appreciation of what had been done in Mitzrayim, based on Kriyat Yam Suf, and Amalek came and just utterly jettisoned it. destroyed it. The impact was entirely undone. Suddenly you have a complete turnabout. And therefore it says in Shemot, when we talk about the entire story of Amalek, what does it say there? It says, Kiyad al Keska, that by the hand on God's cheer, on God's throne, Milchamal Hashem Amalek, Midor Lidor. God wages war with Amalek from generation to generation. Because not only did he reduce the fear of us in the eyes of the nations, but he basically, Amalek trashed God, lessened the impact of God for the entire world. That is where you see the massive impact. God fights Amalek forever and ever. God says, "Ki macho emcha et zechar Amalek mitachat hashamayim." I myself, in Shemot, in Perek Yud Zayin, in 17, verse 14, "Ki macho emcha et zechar Amalek mitachat hashamayim." I myself, says God, will erase the memory of Amalek from under the heavens, because I recognize that it's a battle for me, but it's also a battle for you. And therefore, you have a command, Tzimcha Etzecher Amalek Lo Tishkach. You must eradicate, you must obliterate the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. And it's your job to make sure that no one ever forgets. And we need to look at this a little bit more. What is going on here as well? And the Hamak Dover says something extremely valuable to us. He says, here you have the idea of a memory. What has Amalek come to represent? Amalek has come to represent not only the sense of contempt for God, the sense of contempt for people, but it's also come to represent basically the embodiment of evil. That there is an evil in the world that belongs to Amalek. And how does that come around? Because if we were just talking about Amalek proper, then by saying to us, Lo Tishkach, never forget Amalek, we would keep Amalek's memory alive. It's in other words, it's a paradoxical injunction. You're saying to people, obliterate the memory of Amalek, Lo Tishkach, never forget. Which is it? Obliterate it or never forget it? What are we actually saying? So he says the following. The truth of the matter is that when Avram Avinu fought, when he basically fought to establish a monotheistic path, and he went away and he spread that awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence all over the world, he knew one thing. He knew the human condition. He understood that it is the human condition to basically want to forget God. Why is it the human condition to basically want to forget God? Because by forgetting God, one has the ability to go ahead and live a life that is unrestrained and untrammeled and unconstrained. Amalek is the embodiment of the willingness to forget God, to place God in the periphery, to get God out of the picture. Therefore, you want to obliterate their residue in the world, but the only way that you can do that is by Lo Tishkach, never forgetting the threat that they pose, an ever-present threat to God's presence in the world. And the antidote to that threat is to work on obliterating the impact, at the same time to be ever vigilant in promoting an awareness of God. And how do we do that? We do that by focusing our attention to Yetziat Mitzrayim. We will continue next week with part 2 of Memory, a critical component in living a fully realized Jewish life.